Today's topic, hell. Is it a literal place? Or is it a condition of the mind? Many of us have heard threats such as, if you don't straighten up, you'll go straight to hell. Threats such as this were intended to put the fear of God into people so that they'd do what they were told and not ask any more questions. Some of us ask questions anyway, and some of those questions were about hell itself. So let's look at some of the answers to those questions about hell. First of all, what is your image of hell? One of the most powerful images of hell to be invented was described in poetic verse by the Italian poet Dante. He lived from 1265 to 1321 AD. In his poem, The Divine Comedy, Dante is guided by Virgil on a journey into the abyss of hell, also called the Inferno. He observes the masses of people in various states of torture. The drawings that depict the journey show living bodies, usually naked, being tortured by fire, snakes, ice, mutilation, and devil-like creatures. The poem and pictures create a very fearful, hopeless, painful image of hell. Is that the image of hell that you have? Very possibly so. Many of us have shared that image. Let's start by asking a few questions. What goes to a literal hell? We don't hear anything about animals going to hell, and that's because animals don't sin. Only sinning angels and sinning people receive the consequence of hell. In 2 Peter 2, verse 4, we're told that the angels that sin were cast down to hell. And in Matthew 23:33, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of the day, and he calls them serpents and vipers, and says, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So, let's look at what people are made up of. People are made up of just three parts, spirit, soul, and body. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Spirit, soul, 5:23 rather. It's spirit, soul, and body. Those are the parts, so what part or parts, if any, could go to a literal hell after physical death, assuming that there was a literal hell to go to? Scripturally, we find that the spirit returns to God who gave it. We can read that in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, that says simply that, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Well, scripturally, the soul either dies, as in Ezekiel 18, verses 4 and 20, that says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, or the soul is saved, as it tells us in James 5, 19 and 20, that we can save a soul from death. Scripturally, the body returns to the dust. Genesis 3:19 says, From dust thou art, and unto dust shall it return. And Ecclesiastes 12:7 also says that the dust returns to his earth. Well, if we're only made up of three parts, what's left to go to a literal hell, if there was a literal hell to go to? Nothing. So why create a literal hell if nothing goes there? That's a good question. Does the Bible teach that God made a literal hell? No, it doesn't. Rather, the Bible teaches that hell is a condition of the mind. There are several different ways to prove that there is no literal hell. First of all, the soul is not immortal at birth. God is the only one that has immortality. We can read that in 1 Timothy 6:16. Human souls have to do something to get immortality from God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:53, this mortal must put on immortality. Jesus said in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the word perish means to go out of existence, not to live forever in hell. Paul said in Romans 2:7, eternal life was given to those who seek for glory and honor and immortality. You don't seek for something you already have. So contrary to what most religions teach, the soul is not immortal at birth. Just as the body can die and go back to the dust, so also the soul can die and perish. Ecclesiastes 18, 4 and 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It does not say, live forever in hell. Psalm 146, verse 4 says, in that very day his thoughts perish. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 says, the dead know not anything, And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says there's no knowledge in the grave. So we have to ask, what good is a literal hell if you don't even know you're there? Not much. The second point, fire represents God and His Word, not hell. God calls Himself a consuming fire in Hebrews 12:29. He calls His Word fire in Jeremiah 5:14 and 23:29. And He calls His ministers a flame of fire in Hebrews 1:7. Chariots of fire represent God's angels. We can read that in 2 Kings 6, verses 16 and 17, and Psalm 68:17. There are a few New Testament connections with fire and hell, or fire and punishment, but these can be consistently understood knowing that fire represents God's Word. When we hear God's Word, the fire, and we disobey it, we are in hell, spiritually, within our minds. When we repent and believe God's word, or the fire, it can destroy or burn up the hell, the torment that we've had in our mind, and actually save us, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15. It says we're saved by fire. A third way to show that there's no literal hell is if we look at the actual scriptures themselves that speak of hell. Look them up for yourselves and ask yourself if hell could be a literal place and still do these things. Could hell be a literal place and move around? In Isaiah 14:9 and Revelation 6:8, it shows hell moving around. Could it have gates that fight? In Matthew 16:18, Jesus spoke of the gates of hell that would fight. Could it make agreements? We read in Isaiah 28:15 that hell made an agreement. Could it have children? Jesus said in Matthew 23:15 that hell had children. Could it be female? Now here's a funny one. Isaiah 5:14 depicts hell as a woman. It talks of it in a she, as a she, and it says she's enlarged herself without measure and opened her mouth without measure. So if that's hell, it must be female, very big, and with a big mouth. Could it imprison an angel? That's what it tells us in 2 Peter 2:4. How about this one? Hell must be a fish swimming around in the Mediterranean Sea. That's if we look at Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So the scriptures on hell themselves show it's a condition, a spiritual condition, and not a natural physical location. Another way to disprove a literal hell is the fact that God is love. We read that in 1 John 4:8. Our loving God isn't cruel, so the false image of hell needs to be cast out because it carries with it a false image of God. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor is what we read in Romans 13:10. Love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us that. So God does not desire any to suffer eternally in a literal hell. Again, God is merciful. We read that in Deuteronomy 4:31. God is eager to use his mercy on a soul that repents. King David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed. His punishment under the law was death on two counts. He repented, and God had mercy. David said in Psalm 86:13, "For great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." David was in the lowest hell in his mind when he sinned by breaking two of the Ten Commandments. He got out of hell by repenting and receiving God's mercy. God was also merciful to Jonah. He wanted to get out of his hell or torment by dying. Jonah had disobeyed God's instructions, his fire, and that put him in hell. He wanted to drown to get out of hell, not drown and go to a literal fiery hell to be tormented forever. But God had mercy on Jonah and gave him a chance to repent and be obedient by preparing a whale to swallow him. While he was in the fish, Jonah cried, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." While we're still on the topic of Jonah, let's look at a few other ways, five in fact, that the Jonah fish story helps to tear down the false image that we've had of hell. First of all, the false image most of us had had is that hell is a place of fire. But let's point out, Jonah was in hell, as we just read in Jonah 2:2, but he was not in fire. He was in water, in the middle of a fish's belly, and the fish was in the waters of the sea. Another false image we've had is that hell is a stationary location, oftentimes said to be in the middle of the earth. Once again, when Jonah was in hell, he wasn't in a stationary location. He went wherever the fish went for 3 days and three nights. Another false image. A person physically dies before they go to hell. Well, let's point out, Jonah was in hell, but he had not physically died. He was still alive, and he was in mental torment because of his disobedience to God's commandment. He wanted to die physically to get out of hell, his condition of mental torment. He, because he was a Jew, he knew that there was no literal physical place of torment to go to after death. Another common image that we have had is that once you're in hell, you can never get out. Well, Jonah was in hell, as we read in Jonah 2:2, but he got out of hell by repentance and obedience to God's instruction. We also had the image that hell is a place of continuous punishing forever. Jonah was in hell, and it may have seemed like forever to him because he said so, but in actuality, he only spent 3 days and three nights there, and then he got out of hell. Another way to disprove a literal hell is that God hates unrighteous judgment. We can read about that in Proverbs 11:1 and Job 34:12. God is a righteous judge, and the punishment that he renders for a crime will fit the crime, as it tells us in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It's what we sow, that is what we reap, not more than what we sow. Even human courts refrain from punishments that involve continual torture. And God is more righteous than the judges of this world. How could a righteous judge condemn a person to an eternity of torment for sinning 20, 30, or even 80 years? A righteous judge wouldn't and doesn't. God wants to deliver people from hell, the mental torment they've been in, and he wants to give them heaven within their mind. Another way to show that there's no literal hell is, read in Genesis. You'll notice God did not create hell. There's no mention of God creating hell anywhere in Genesis, or anywhere else for that matter. Everything that God made was good. We read that in Genesis 1:31. Hell is not a good place. It's a condition of darkness that we want to avoid or get out of. Jesus tells us that our choices will either put us in light or in darkness in Matthew chapter 6. God did not make hell, but he will destroy it. Read about that in Romans 13:12 and Revelation 20:14. Let's talk a little bit about the gates of hell. Peter got the witness that Jesus was the Christ when Jesus said, "And then Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's in Matthew 16. Now, if these were literal physical gates, that would be pretty hard for them to fight against the church. Jesus was using the Old Testament symbol of gates as people. Psalm 24:7 equates gates and doors with people. Jesus himself said, "I am the door." He was a door to heaven. Evil ministers are a door into the confused state of hell because their false teachings create hell in people's minds. Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. He said so in the book of Revelation. What we know about keys is that keys are not literal physical keys, but they are symbolic of knowledge, as we read in Luke 11:52. We need knowledge to get out of hell. As Jesus said, "Know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Finally, we want to serve God out of love. We don't want to use God as a fire escape. Because God is love, we want to serve our Maker out of love.